Goodness, Lord, and we thank you that it is everlasting and it's constant, Lord. We worship you this morning, Father. We lay our lives before you now, Lord. We open our hearts to you and to what you have to say to us, Lord God. Speak to our hearts today. Open our eyes to see things the way that you see them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. You can have a seat. My name is Dennis. I'm so glad you came today. As you came in, you received a folder, and on the inside is a card. I'd like you to take the card out right now. Go ahead and put your name on it. We are going to be using that at the end of our teaching time today, so it's really important that you at least get your name on it. If this is your first time with us, you can put as much information on the card as you're comfortable filling out, and you'll notice as you leave, there's a table on your way out the door, some books on there. We'd like you to take one of those as our gift just to say thanks for coming and spending your Sunday morning with us at Southfield. This is the third Sunday of Advent. The countdown to Christmas is on, and this is the week that we light the pink candle. If you go on the internet or look at different documents to try to find out what the symbolism of the Advent candles are, you'll find all kinds of different things written about what they could mean and why they exist and all that sort of thing. But time and time again, everybody comes to the agreement that the third week, the pink candle, is about hope. It's about the hope of Jesus coming into our lives and the difference he makes in our lives and the difference that we can make as Christ followers in the lives of others. So we're having the Dierda family come today. They're going to be the ones lighting our candles. So they get to light three candles, including the pink ones. You can come on up. And then after they're done lighting the candles, we're going to have a conversation with them about something that they did recently that helped them to bring hope to some other people.
This week's reading comes from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it.
God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God.
So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son.
So this past semester, we were in a journey group together that met at our house, and Jeff and Wendy were part of that group. And as Thanksgiving was approaching, they said that they were going to try to do something different to celebrate Thanksgiving. And the difference wasn't just we're going to have ham instead of turkey, but they really wanted to do something that would bring meaning to their expression of Thanksgiving. What the Dierdorf Stud did was it was really, really great. And the part that I was apprehensive about bringing them up here and talking about it is when people give, they give because they want to give. They give not because they want someone to ring a chime, ring a gong, say, look at how great we are. Look at what we did. And so I want you to know right from the start that I asked them to share their story. And I realized that in doing that, you know, you may look at them and think, wow, they're just awesome, incredible, wonderful. Isn't this great? That's the last thing they want you to think right now. They did this because they care about other people and did this because of the love that they have for Christ, not in order for other people to know about it. Just go ahead and start out right away and ask you, what did you do? What was the idea? How was it inspired? What's the project?
Well, the inspiration actually came from your messages as we were coming up to Thanksgiving, where you were making the suggestion that we should all get out there and do something different this year to help, you know, our families out or whatever the case might be. So we were sitting here in the service one morning, and I leaned over to Wendy and I said, we need to do a big give. We need to find a way to get out in the community or something like that, and you know, find some maybe some homeless people or something of that nature, and give back and just give from our hearts. So she nodded, yeah. So we left this building with that in mind. Now the thing that we all struggle with is that when we think about something too much, we can sometimes talk ourselves out of it. Mm-hmm. And when you think about taking on the endeavor of putting things together or putting an idea together where you're going to go out and actually enter the streets and run into people you might not be familiar with or real comfortable being around, you can just give up at some point. We decided to execute immediately, get committed. And at that point in time, that's when my logistics and planning coordinator, Wendy, took over and started to make this happen.
So what did you do? What was the idea?
Went shopping. we knew we wanted to help homeless people. We made that decision. At our journey group, we talked about how we wanted to do this, but we weren't quite sure how to go about doing it. We weren't quite sure what we should give. The thoughts ranged from anywhere we would go out and buy coats and hand out coats to people to, you know, seeing people and taking them in and buying a meal, or seeing someone and taking them into a store to get them something that they picked, and to what we ended up deciding to do was give out care packages. So we purchased bags and goods to put in the bags.
And when you say bags, they were like, you know,
they were the very
full-size paper grocery bag style, nice and big present bag, right?
They were present bags.
Yeah.
We did present bags. We put things in there. I started out with sweatshirts and sweaters that I had purchased at Goodwill. I bought extra large size so that it would fit whether you were small or not. I put socks and things like that in, lots of food, personal items like deodorant, hair care products, soap, toothbrush, toothpaste, lots of food, canned meats, and just other things that we thought about that we thought, well, if I was living on the streets, if this had happened to me, what would I need to feel good for a day, 2 days, 3 days, a week, whatever. And then I just went shopping and bought the stuff.
So you fill the bags, and now the plan is to go down to Chicago and hand them out. And you've got two guys sitting in the back seat. You're driving down. Talk about getting there, Tom.
All right. So on the entire way down, I was basically complaining the whole time how I didn't want to do this. It was something that I've never done before. I've never done anything close to it. So it was just uncomfortable for me. Hmm. Similar with my brother. We just, you know, it was new to us. So I wasn't really very fond of going out and doing something new. When we got up to Chicago and we started looking around and we finally found our first person that was kind of begging for change or money at a street corner, I kind of told Joey that he should go out and do the first one because I didn't want to do it. Originally, I would have probably been fine if Joey had done them all and I had done none of them. But we decided together that we would go out and do the first one. So we both got out and we carried over one of the bags and gave it to the guy and said, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Thanksgiving. I hope this can help you in some way. And the first guy seemed a little confused. He didn't know what this meant. He didn't know if it was a joke because nobody had probably given him a gift in a very long time, or at least something substantial. So after giving the first one, that initial fear kind of faded a little bit. It was still there. And then after we got through about doing one or two of them, both Joey and I were comfortable just grabbing a bag and going and doing the right thing. And it's definitely worth it because although we aren't benefiting at all from this, I'm not going to, you know, get a reward for this. We didn't do this to get any praise or anything. It was strictly the right thing to do. It's almost more rewarding in itself to see this smile and to see this person going through this bag, extremely eager to see what they've gotten. That's more of a reward than getting something in return that's a physical reward. It was definitely worth it.
So I don't want to, like, break the, you know, I know teenagers have a pact that they try to pretend that they're doing one thing when they're really doing another thing to try to confuse parents all across America and around the world. I get that. So I don't want you to give away the secret code or anything like that. But here's the bottom line. The reason you didn't want to do it was you were intimidated.
Yes. There was a lot to it. And it was just, there were many, many factors as to why I wouldn't want to do this. Just the whole uncomfortableness of this person isn't like me. This person doesn't have the same background as I do. This person, you know, myself as a bad judgment would be this person, you know, means no good and just harm, and that's why they're out here and not in their house.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really intimidating because it's like this person could have, you know, a weapon or could just not care at all or something. And that's just the really negative approach to it, but you just got to get over that and realize that some people just aren't as lucky as we all are. Some people are out on the streets because they can't afford a house, can't even afford, you know, something small. And you really have to get over the fact that, you know, they're not going to be bad just because they're not like us. You have to get over that intimidation factor.
Mm-hmm. Part of the reason I ask that is because I think sometimes when we look at a person on the surface and they're being uncooperative, we just view them as being kind of a, I don't know, can I say the word jerk in church? You know, kind of a, you're being a jerk about it. But the truth is there was stuff going on in your head that really you were covering it with, this is intimidating. This kind of, I don't know if I want to do this. Hand the mic down one. I want to ask you, Joey, what did you think the people were going to be like that you met? What did you expect? You know, before you did it, what were you expecting?
That's kind of one of the reasons why I didn't want to do it either, because, I mean, it'd be kind of weird for, hey, do you have a spare dollar? Well, here's a huge sack of stuff for you. I mean, that walking around the streets of Chicago with a big bag of goods was kind of, I thought it would be awkward, and I thought that, like Tommy said, they'd be like, are you sure you got the right guy?
Mm-hmm.
What's in there? Is this a joke? But I mean, I knew all of them would appreciate it, like once they found out what was inside. But and that's pretty much exactly what they all did. But you know, after the first awkward time of giving the first person the bag and seeing that they weren't like confused or like, what are you doing? Get away from me! Like that they actually appreciated it. And that set in, and that's how everyone else reacted. So
compared to what you expected, do you have one or two people maybe that kind of linger in your mind, a face? What were they like? What were they really like instead of what you dreamed they'd be like?
Well, one of them, I'm kind of stealing Dad's thunder. There was one who was... He was in lower whacker, and he was sleeping. And after we gave him his bag, and he was really confused at first, as we drove away, he was, like, his whole face was inside the bag, digging through. And that brought a smile to my face to know that he knew that he was loved. And another one was one of the first guys. He was on one of the street corners, and he was in a wheelchair. And that just really, like, hit me, too, because, I mean, they're not just homeless, mm-hmm. but there's people out there who are homeless, mm-hmm. and they really need help.
It's kind of, I mean, part of what you guys are admitting is it's really easy to look at somebody in that condition and, without thinking too much, get kind of judgmental. Almost kind of they deserve to be where they are. It's their fault. So why should we do something nice for them when they've kind of earned the spot in life that they're at? Which is really, I think part of what you all are expressing is doing something like this really starts to work on all your head junk. You start to have some motives revealed and things come out that you're like, wow, I didn't realize that was there. What did you have kind of the same reaction in terms of, hey, I really don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway, or was there something different going on in you?
I wanted to do it, but then again, I didn't want to do it because it is kind of awkward to just go up to a stranger and, hey, here you go. Mm-hmm. Instead of giving them like a penny, you're giving them a big bag of presents. Mm-hmm. But so at first it was really strange, but after like every time we drove away and saw them digging in and smiling and just being happy, like the whole feeling of giving set in, and I really liked it after that.
What was the best part for you? In fact, maybe another way to put it is, what happened to you that you didn't expect?
Probably how easily I got into it.
Okay.
Because I thought, okay, I'll just give these bags. It'll be fun, but it'll be over really quick, and that'll be what I'm looking forward to. Mm-hmm. But after like the first two bags, after seeing them like really so grateful, I really got into it, and I wanted to keep going. Mm-hmm. So.
Cool. Wendy, what did you hope to accomplish with this?
In the broadest sense, to help people. I like to take care of people. So in the broadest sense, that would have been it. But to bring it in closer to home, to pass that on to my kids who have lived a really decent life, or, you know, they're teenagers. Tommy will be 18 in 2 weeks. Joey's almost 17. And we're always on them about you don't appreciate what you have. And the when I was a kid stories, and mm-hmm. you've got it so good, and I wanted them to see that, you know, there but for the grace of God go I, you know, mm-hmm. that could happen to us. Jeff lost his job in October, and something we never dreamed would happen. He had a job for life, but it doesn't work out that way. And sometimes people are homeless because of not what they've done, but what has happened to them. It's the circumstances that make them that way. And also, you know, sometimes it is because of what they've done, but that they're still a human being, and everybody needs to feel like somebody cares about them. Mm. So I wanted them to get to experience that, and my hope was that that would give them a more generous heart.
Mm-hmm. Come back to Jeff. Kind of asking the same question, because, you know, you're the one sitting in church and going, maybe we should try this. What did you hope to accomplish?
Overall, it was you know, much like Wendy gets to here in her comments, is that to help somebody, to help mm-hmm. somebody in need. I was probably the one that struggled with how do we do this. That's why I kind of turned it over, because even in our journey group conversations, I was the one that probably said, you know, we don't want to give money. They'll go out and buy alcohol or drugs or something like that. And it was the journey group, actually, that convinced us that it's not about what they do with what you give them. It's about giving. So I got over that. We went to, you know, the program from there about how we do this. But it's really the give was really the center point of my initial thought. And when you were leading us up to that here in the messages, you talked about doing something different. I didn't want to do dishes. So this was the alternate.
You'll do anything to get out of doing the dishes, won't you?
You got it. So this was something I thought that we could do. We as a family needed to give back. As Wendy said, I just lost my job, and we'd never experienced that before.
Yeah.
33 years of continuous every day at work.
And, wow.
And so we wanted to give back, and I mean, there's things said in the Bible that, you know, giving is what it's about.
Yeah.
So that's what drove it.
Cool. Let me give you a little insight into life at the Papp House, because I think some of you really think that we walk around all day singing and, you know, are just happy and never have any problems. My wife is great at coming up with great plans that everybody will love, and she will enforce these plans, and we will go along. So, for example, Thanksgiving, one of the great plans was we were going to sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, and everybody was going to go around and say what they're thankful for, and then everybody was going to pray for what they're thankful for. And after the first kid started, I just said, I'm just praying. It's time to eat. Because, you know, you could tell we were in this total ingrate, you're ruining the moment. Ah, I just want turkey. Hand the mic back. Because you had a dream, just like Kim gets dreams, we're going to create this Norman Rockwell moment. And kids have a way of going and looking at that Norman Rockwell and throwing paint on it and scratching it and messing it up. And before you know it, you're kind of going, this is not what I hoped. And they're already admitting. In fact, they've kind of stolen some of the thunder from the first service. They're already admitting, you had a goal, and they weren't quite getting there. So what do you say to people who are saying, I want to help my kid, but every time I try to help my kid, it seems like all they want to do is buck me on it. But eventually, they kind of get it. Walk with that a little bit.
Yeah, they did kind of steal the thunder on that, but Tommy still makes it seem a lot more pleasant than it was. He was, and you can say the word in church, a jerk. Everything from, you know, this is stupid, to you spilled pop on my book and now it's ruined. It was ridiculous, but I could have done what I've done in the past, which is say, that's it, we're done, we're going home. That would have defeated the entire purpose. I forced him. Joey just was kind of like he's standing there. He's pretty compliant, but the excitement, the desire to want to help people wasn't there. That wasn't in my picture. I wanted everybody to be like, oh, let's go, yay! And that was not the case at all. So we just had to go with it. I had to make them get out and give the first bag with them arguing right up into the point where they stepped on the sidewalk and Jeff pulled away so they could not get back in the car. We drove around the block. They were kind of running back to us after they had given the bag. But what that gave us was the opportunity to, as we were pulling away from the person they had given the bag to, they were able to look out and see this man and see him pulling out a sweatshirt and holding it up and the smile on his face. And you know, it was like Mary Poppins' bag. They would pull one thing out and there'd be more, and they'd pull more out. And they got to see the joy on their faces. And, you know, it was still slow to start. The next couple of people, it was, you know, okay, we'll go. But towards the end, even before towards the end, it got to that point where it was like they wanted to do it. We all had our eyes peeled for the people. There's somebody over there, Dad, drive around the block. We can go do that. And that was logistically how we did it. We drove around looking for people. In my picture, there were going to be people every 10 steps, and we could carry these bags and hand them and visit with people. But it wasn't like that. We did have to do some driving. We ended up on Lower Wacker Drive and gave out the remaining bags that we had there. But to go back to what you asked, what do you do when you have kids like that? You make them do it. And you give up that little hope that they're going to perform the way you want them to perform, and you trust God to get through to them, because you're not getting through to them. God's mm-hmm. going to get through to them. And he did. You know, their attitudes were really kind of bad on the way up. They're like, oh.
Not dude. These boys. These were two other boys you took, right?
Yeah.
You know, how long is it going to take? Are we going to have to walk around with these things? I'm not, you know, they basically wanted to sit in the car, and well, they didn't even want to sit in the car. They wanted to sit at home. But they argued when we found the first person, you know, I'm not getting out of the car. You take it. No, I'm taking it. And I was really starting to get ticked. It's like, you know, this is supposed to be a good experience, and you're going to learn a valuable lesson. Now get out there and do it.
Love Jesus or die. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact.
Yep.
And
how you guys doing over there? Yeah, good. Okay.
They just went grudgingly. They went very grudgingly the first time, and I think they actually went grudgingly the second time. And by the third time, there was no more grudge. And, you know, every single person that we gave a bag to, they would say, God bless you. They would be so grateful. They would be excited. And I think that that just warmed them. And so in the end, yes, the experience was everything that I wanted it to be and more. And I think, too, though, that you have to go through those smudges on your painting before you get to the end result because it made the lesson more real for them.
Being the youngest, I know you're used to opening Christmas presents ahead of time and figuring out what's inside. So you had to have looked in these bags and found all the good stuff. What's in there?
Well, I got the lucky job of packing them.
Okay.
And like Mama said, there was everything in there. There was crackers. There were cookies, and there was scarves, there was socks, band-aids, just pretty much basic necessities. And we had it so half of the bags were for guys and half of the bags were for girls. So like the bad thing was we didn't find any girls.
Okay.
So some guys got some like colorful scarves and socks, but I'm sure they're warm.
Like the dad, you had a couple of really one was a touching story and one was a disturbing story. Talk about, you guys decide you're going to go over to Lower Wacker. You look over the bridge. You see something. You make an observation on what you think you saw. Is this ringing a bell?
Oh, yeah. We didn't do this by going to a mission or you know, going to some organized event. We created this event. We just went. We used to go down to Chicago every winter, walk around the whatever store that is with the windows thing. The boys would ice skate.
McDonald's.
And we always remember a lot of people on the corners, you know, playing the bucket drums or playing the trumpet or just sitting there in a bad state. So we just decided to go find those people. You know, the ones that may have been there 3 years ago or 4 years ago or the ones there today because of hard times. So we did that, but it was kind of slow, up, what I'll call up top. And doing a lot of business in Chicago, I've been through in cab rides and different things through the area called Lower Wacker. And I thought, there's got to be people down there. It's a little bit warmer. It's a little more secluded and whatever. And, that was the jackpot, I guess you might say, as far as finding people in need. So as we're driving through the Lower Wacker catacombs, I look over and I see, Wendy says, there's somebody down there. And I said, that's just bags of trash. Because there's a lot of stores and buildings from up top that dump their stuff out the back. And she says, no, I think there's a person down there. So I turned around, went back down there, and sure enough, there was a person there laying amongst bags of garbage. So we were able to get out of the car, get them a bag of goods, and that person was, to Tommy's point, that person was confused. They weren't confused because we were there. They were confused because that's the state of mind they live in. And but as soon as we pulled away, as Tommy said earlier, the person was going through and you know, looking at different things in the bag. Not that we were gawking to see, but we wanted to make sure that, you know, they understood that there was something there for them. So we had that, and then we're down to three bags. And we're still in Lower Wacker, and we make a U-turn. We go back to an area where we had seen people when we first came in, but they were kind of busy. And I'm pulling up to a intersection, and I tap the horn because I was the driver. I was the logistics guy. Mm-hmm. So I tap the horn, and this guy comes over, and sure enough, he walks up to the car, and we tell him to go around to the back because Tommy was on the right side, and he had access to the bags. And so I just said, just hand it out the window. So he handed one out the window, and here comes another guy. And then here comes another guy. And then here comes a whole bunch more people. These people just, they're just so many down there, you can't, it's really, you know, it's really tough to walk away from that. But the other piece, we had just handed out the last bag, and a guy was running up from behind the car. I could see it in the rearview mirror. And he got up to the window and looked in, and we said, we're out. And he said, that's just my luck. And that right there, you know, that takes you for a minute. So there's just so much out there that we can do. Mm-hmm. And it's really simple when you stop and think about it. Mm-hmm. When you don't stop and think about it. Because you stop and think about it, you will talk yourself out of it.
For all the things you've talked about, thanks for being transparent on that. And thanks for being willing to be part of the transparency. Because, again, we have great plans, not just with our kids, but great plans with people of how we're going to help them to learn a lesson, and then it doesn't go the way we planned, and we get all frustrated that it didn't go the way it planned, and once again, we're kind of being taught by God, it's not all about you controlling things. It's not all about you saying how it's going to work out, and one person will react one way, or another person will react another way, and a lot of times, we get a burden for something, expect everybody else to have the same burden. It's not necessarily the way it works, so thanks for your transparency. Thanks for your example. Why don't you say thanks to these guys, and you can have a seat or head out. Verse on the screen says, feed the hungry and help those in trouble. And then comes this great Advent part of it. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be bright as noon. This is one of the verses. It is the verse that Wendy sent along in talking about what they did as a family. And part of the reason I wanted to talk about this today, a couple really. One is I love the organic nature of what happened with this family for Thanksgiving. And that's part of what Southfield's about. We didn't announce a program. We're going to do a let's go feed the hungry in Chicago together sort of approach. They felt moved to do something, and they did it. They didn't call and ask me permission. They didn't wait for a committee to inspire them. They said, hey, this is a need. We feel a tug. We're going to jump in on that. And I hope that you'll be encouraged when the Spirit's tugging on your heart. Jump in and do it. Don't wait for something to be formally organized in order for you to do what God's moving you to do. The other reason I wanted to talk about this today, though, was just when we asked you in that initial email, asked you to write on your card, fill in the blank, this Christmas, how would you finish that sentence? There were several of you that said something like this: I want my kids to learn to be more generous. I want my kids to learn to share. I want my kids to learn that what giving is really all about. And so this morning, we want to talk a bit about ways that we can do that, ways that we can inspire other members of our family, other people around us that we're trying to lead, to be inspired to really give from the heart. So today we're talking about this Christmas, let's give more. Let's give more than we ever have before. Which really leads you to the question, why give? And why is giving associated with Christmas? Now, as you think of the big picture of it, certainly one piece of it has to do with what God did for us. God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die but have eternal life. God at Christmas gave us the gift we needed, not necessarily the gift we wanted. Nobody was asking for it. God said, this is what you need in order to have a relationship with me. And so he gave us the gift of his Son. If you go over to Romans 6:23, it says, the wages of sin is death. The paycheck you earn for sin is death, eternal death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I love that this translation uses the words free gift. Because if you've been receiving gifts long enough, you know that some gifts are not free.
There are some gifts that when you receive them, when you're holding them, they feel like they have spider webs all on them. And when you look at the spider webs, you realize those aren't spider webs, those are strings. And those strings are going out in all these directions, and people are saying, if I give you this, you will do this, you will perform this way, you will this, you will that. God's free gift came without any of those strings. It was totally a free gift from God that He gave to you and He gave to me. Another part of the giving of Christmas really comes down to what happened in the life of Jesus early on in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with verse 9 when it says, "And the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem," talking about the wise men, the magi. "It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So let me go off the road just a little bit because I want to talk about the wise men. These guys are very misunderstood. A lot of myths about the wise men. Let me give you one. People talk about the three wise men. No, the Bible says there were three gifts. There may have been 20 wise men who all shared in on the gifts. There were three gifts that particular day. The Bible doesn't mention their names, even though the song has their names. The Bible doesn't mention the names of the wise men. They didn't appear on Christmas night. I know your manger set, you know, there are the wise men sitting there, but the wise men saw the star, perhaps, that first night. And in fact, we believe that the wise men probably came to the house where Jesus was staying sometime in the first 2 years of his life. Why do we say 2 years? When the wise men went to Herod to find out where the king was born, Herod asked, "When did the star appear?" And the answer that they gave caused Herod to say, "I'm killing all babies 2 and under to make sure that I've killed the child." So it wasn't that night. And this is probably the piece that kind of I get funny about. But anyway, that little manger set, when you look at those three guys and then they're there next to their camels, they were probably not a white guy, a black guy, and an oriental guy. Okay? It didn't look like a delegation from the UN. They probably looked like three Iranians or three Iraqis. They were from the East. And they were coming to worship Jesus. They brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And even these, I mean, go on the internet and see what it says about what the gifts mean. You'll come up with all kinds of meanings. The gold is about his royalty. The frankincense is about him being a priest because it was incense. The myrrh is something that was used on a corpse at death. And so they come up with these meanings. I really think it comes down to this. You had three gifts that were given by people who recognized that a king had been born. And they brought gifts worthy of a king. And they bowed down to a baby, recognizing that baby was higher in stature than they were. They came with valuable gifts to worship. And that's what we do. We come with our gifts to worship our Savior, to worship Jesus. One verse that's very familiar to a lot of people, not just Christians, is found in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. The Apostle Paul says this. He says, "I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of our Lord Jesus, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Interestingly, those words are never recorded in the Gospels. These are words that had been conveyed by the apostles, and Paul finally writes them down in Acts chapter 20. These are the words of Jesus. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, the verse doesn't say it's not blessed to receive. It says it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's cool to receive things. But Jesus is saying there's something even better about giving. And when you've truly given, you know that to be true. You receive a gift, something maybe that you've been wanting for a long, long time. Throughout the afternoon and evening, you kind of play with it, tinker with it. And after a while, what do you start to do? You know, I wish I'd have gotten this color, and I wish I'd have gotten this version, and oh, this would have been cool. And that. Already some dissatisfaction may be starting to set in with the gift. But when we give, there's something deeper that goes on that's just amazing. When we have that chance to be like God
and to give something, to truly give something to someone else, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what it comes down to is we're going to give. We're going to give. So this Christmas, here's what we're going to do first. This Christmas, I will give more. Now, I have a question mark behind that, and I have it there for a reason. What was last week? This Christmas, less is more. And this week, Dennis is saying, this Christmas, I will give more. I mean, do we have the ultimate and contradictory pastors going on here? Less is more, but you got to give more. I can't do both of these things. Choose, pick, do something. No, we're not just talking about buying more junk. That's not what it's about. I think what it comes down to for a lot of us, we're great at buying. We're great at gifting. But we're not necessarily great at giving. God's asking us to give. He's not asking us to gift. You know the difference, don't you? When you're on the list, you've been forced, compelled to buy something for your coworker, and so you buy it and you gift it, but you don't necessarily give it. God is calling on us to be people who give from the heart, who give to meet a need. Giving is really about motivation, isn't it? Why am I doing this? Why? Why am I doing this? And so as we give, even as the Dearness were talking, their giving revealed some things about their motivation. They were able to get at some of the junk in their heart and realize some things that were there that weren't right. So what we're going to do this Christmas, I'm making this commitment, I will give better. I'll give better than I have before. I'll give gifts with meaning. I'll give gifts with purpose. I'll give to meet a need, not just a want, but to really go deeper, give better. But even more important than that, this Christmas, I hope you're able to say this, I will give me. I'm not just going to give things, I will give me. I'm going to say this again, I've said it before. At Christmas, it is important that we learn that we need to give our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, and not just our presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S. Some of us believe that we can make up for the absence we've had in someone else's life by giving them a gift. We can make up for all the times that we ignored them, we weren't there for them, by giving them an item. Your presence matters far more than any gift you could ever give. A present once a year, no matter how great, cannot and does not replace year-long presence. So think long and hard about the ways that you can give yourself and not just give an item to someone else. So what I wanted to do, I was thinking through what project can we do to inspire our kids, to inspire ourselves? What can we do? What can we get involved in that'll help us to truly give to other people? And I was really inspired by what Dierdorf's did. Again, being part of their group, I was there that night that we were talking about. So what do you give to someone that's homeless? And what if they abuse it? And what if they take what you give to them and turn around and sell it and buy something bad or do something awful? And as we're talking through this, we ultimately came to the conclusion that giving, more often than not, is about what it does to us than what it does to the other person. It really comes down to, do I have an open enough hand to care about someone else instead of trying to control the whole situation? So we'll talk about it a little bit more in a few minutes, but what we're going to do is put together a whole bunch of homeless packs, just a whole bunch of them. And throughout January, in the coldest month that we experience, make sure those get delivered to people who just need something to eat, something warm, and how about this even, something fun, something that would make them smile. Something that would cause them to say, I haven't seen one of those in a very long time. Something that helps them to feel some worth. Because the sad fact is, for those of you that spend a lot of time downtown, you work downtown, one of the things you recognize, people are sitting there all the time asking for things. And I will guarantee you, for most of them, it's been a long, long time since someone just looked them in the eyes. That someone acknowledged their existence. And this will give us the chance to acknowledge someone's existence and let them know the love of God. Why do we give? Well, it was already mentioned this morning. For a lot of us, we give because of what it'll do for someone else. It fills a need. It brings a smile. It shows them love. And we start out on this giving project because we think we can fill the needs of the world. We think we can take care of someone else. But here's what it's really all about. We give because what it does for us. I'm not trying to turn this into something selfish, because you'll see in a moment, there's nothing selfish about it. When I give, there are a few things that happen. One, I have to trust God. I'm going to give away something that I have, so I have to trust God to meet my need. It's teaching me trust when I give to someone else. What does the Bible say? Give us this day our daily bread. God says, I want you to rely on me every day for what you get. He doesn't say, give us this day our lottery ticket so we'll be set for life. He says, just give me what I need today. So when I'm giving to someone else, I'm trusting that God is going to come through for me in my moment of need. I mean, I think it's ironic that Jeff is giving to someone else when he's unemployed. I've got to be a point at which you're kind of wondering, a year from now, will somebody be dropping these bags off at my house? All this stuff, we start to think, can I trust God enough to take care of me? Now, when I think of trust, it's kind of hard to do this by yourself, but I think of holding hands. When you trust somebody, you hold their hand and you walk with them. God wants to walk with us in the process of being generous with others. How about this one? Control. A lot of times we don't give because we want to control the situation. What if I give them something and they misuse it, they abuse it, they don't use it the way I think they should? And I really believe what God is trying to teach us when we give generously is to open up our hand and to say, you're not God. Do your part, I'll take care of them. Just do your part of giving. So it's a matter of releasing the control that we often want to exert over our things, over the way things are used, over other people. When we're giving, control is starting to be released. Another thing that happens when we give, we start to realize the true value of things. What really matters and what really doesn't. And for that, I just think of an open hand. An open hand that holds things loosely and says, God, you can have whatever you want. Are there things in your life that you say, God, you can have everything but? You can have these things. Here, have my used tea bags. I don't need those anymore. But there are things over here that you don't dare touch, God. Or am I realizing that a person is worth more than the things I hold? And so I start to take on a different set of values. Giving teaches us trust. It teaches us to not control, and it teaches us the true value of things and that we can hold them loosely and allow God to use them the way he wants to use them. So we're going to do this project together. We're going to fill packs and we're going to distribute them throughout January. I'll tell you more of the details in a couple moments. What I want you to do right now is think about it. Just think about what we've talked about right now, because I promise some of you are already experiencing some head junk. Some of you are already going, why would we do that? And why them? And why this? And why that? And how will it work? And all this stuff. Can you really just bring this down to God wants me to give? So let's give more. Let's pray. Father, help us to learn to be like you, to be people who are generous. Too often we look like a room full of preschoolers, grabbing our toys. It's mine. Don't touch it. And you, as our good Father, is saying, would you just share? Would you just care about somebody other than yourself? Help us today to commit ourselves to learn the lessons, not of buying and not of gifting, but of real giving. Of giving ourselves to other people. In Jesus' name, amen. We have servers coming right now, and they're going to serve you communion today. Said this in the first service. We've had comments from time to time because of the way we stack the bread and cup together that some of you have difficulty pulling those apart from time to time, and a few of you are smiling. You may want to hold your cup a little more loosely, the bottom cup, and they'll come apart a little bit more easily. The bread and the cup are symbols of the wonderful gift that was given to you and given to me so that we can have eternal life. This morning, enjoy the gift God has given you.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. The thrill of hope, the a holy night, that Christmas night when Jesus was born. It was an amazing night. A night that God sent us a Savior. He sent us a Messiah. He sent us salvation. He sent us hope. Without that night, we wouldn't have a future with Him. Because of that night, we can be saved from the sin that we were born into. Because of that night, we can live in God's presence. Because of that night, we can be cleansed That night was an amazing night, as most of the world didn't even realize what was happening. There were a few people that did. They were aware of the importance of Christmas night. They were aware of what was happening to the world and what God was doing on Christmas Day. But now we know we can look back and realize that God came through on a promise that was made generations before, that people had been waiting and waiting and waiting for. His promise was sure. His word was true. As we think about that, I want you to sing just one word with me. It's just hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. God, we thank you so much for that night. Father, we thank you for that holy night. Lord, we pray that you would help us to keep that night holy and not to lose the focus, Lord, of what it is really about, God, but it's about the deliverance that you sent us and the hope that you sent us through Jesus Christ. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you take your card in your hand, turn it to the back side, and talk about some very specific commitments to the project we're talking about. And one of the things I want to say up front is we want to try to honor as much as possible the organic, spontaneous nature of this. So we're not setting a goal of, you know, we want to make 1,500 bags, or we're going to make sure every bag has a certain item in it or anything like that. This is really God moving your heart to give the way you think you should give. We'll suggest some guidelines. Maybe one of these will help you. Five things on the back of the card. One is I'll give financially to purchase items for the homeless packs. So over the next 2 weeks, on your offering envelope, there's a slot for other. You could just write homeless pack there or Christmas, something that indicates I'd like to see these funds used toward helping to purchase items for the packs. The second one is I plan to purchase and bring supplies to put in the packs. So we talked already about make this something for your family, something for your kids. Take them to the store. Take them to the food aisle and say, what do you think we should put in this? Get some ideas from them. Make them very much part of the project. The third one is specifically to the kids. Challenge your kids to put something in that they like, something that's important to them. So don't just talk about things that are reasonable to you. They might come up with something that you just kind of go, that's silly. You know, honestly, wouldn't it be fun for them to open something and find something silly? It'd be kind of cool. Let God even speak through your child to do what you think should go in the bag. The fourth one is, yeah, I'd be available to do some shopping the week between Christmas and New Year's because we will have collected some funds. We'll want to, you know, buy the items to put in the packs. And then here's the final part. January 1st, it's going to be a real hands-on morning. And part of the morning is going to be we're going to go around and fill the bags. As a church, we're going to fill the bags, collect them, get them together. One thing we didn't write on here is maybe you want to be a part of delivering them. If you want that, just write delivery as well. So go ahead and check off whatever you want right now. Some of you still need to think about it. That's cool. We'll be talking about this for the next couple of weeks. So just start to really move with the prompting of whatever God has said to you. This is the direction we want to take this. Again, honoring the organic nature of helping other people and giving to other people. We can't compel you to give. It's something you do from your heart. So our servers are coming right now. They'll collect your cards and collect your offering. You can place both in the basket at this time. And I want to tell you again a little bit, just a reminder. We'll remind you one more time next week. This Sunday, we were obviously here at the junior high. Next Sunday, we'll be here at the junior high. After that, for 2 weeks, we'll be at our other location. We'll be holding our service at the warehouse. The first announcement on your folder today gives the address. Make sure you go, drive by, get familiar with where it is. There's a church sign out by the driveway and a church sign on the door
of our location over there. So make sure you get that fixed in your mind. We'll have both of our services on Christmas Sunday and New Year's Sunday. We'll be held at that location at 11 o'clock. We hope 11 o'clock will give you time if you're a Christmas morning present opener. You know, let's face it, your kids will have woken you up at 4:30. So you will have plenty of time to get ready for church and get on over. We'll have a great, beautiful morning of worship on Christmas and then a real hands-on morning, fun morning on New Year's. One of the pieces of New Year's that's going to be really cool and special, we church in Yorkville is letting us use their portable baptistry again. So if you'd like to get baptized the first day of the new year, let us know that on your card or by way of an email. Here's the advantage of that. I'm just going to be, you know, straightforward about it. For some of you, you love watching people get baptized at the river. It's the coolest thing. And there ain't no way in the world you get in with those fish and that seaweed. You're like, I love Jesus, but really, you're going to make me get in with fish and seaweed. This is a wonderful tub full of chlorinated water. I won't even bring my koi and put them in. Nothing. It'll be just a nice place for you to be able to go ahead and express your devotion to Jesus on the very first day of 2012. So if you want to do that, make sure you let us know. You'll be receiving a few emails this week about items for the PAX, about the way we're going to do the PAX, about those two Sundays. So just keep checking your email for things that are coming. We want you to go ahead and stand up. We're going to close out our time together singing and praising God in worship.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Yeah.